Well, good morning. Good morning. Happy Easter. Wow. Thank you. So, man, a few months ago, I don't know if you guys can adjust my mic. Y'all hearing the echo? All right. We'll get it fixed. All right. So a few months ago, my brother and I, we were thinking about going into a little joint venture investment deal. And it was, we were looking at some property up in North Carolina in the mountains. And it was about 50 acres of land and a beautiful, beautiful piece of property. And it would have been a pretty cool deal, but it just would not have worked. So we ended up not doing it. But in the process of checking it out, we wanted to walk the property to just see, you know, before we made an offer on it. And so we took off and we started walking down these power lines that were service roads. And pretty rough, not maintained, but at least some kind of trail. And we figured, you know, they're going somewhere, right? And we just kept walking and kept walking. And we were over an hour into the walk, and we're expecting this thing to actually dump us out onto a main road. And we're just walking, and about every 15 minutes from that point on, we're like, hey, you think we're lost? And, you know, we would switch back and forth. You know, at one point I thought we were lost. One point he thought we were lost. But then when we'd say, no, it's got to be taking us somewhere. It's got to take us. Have you ever been on a trail and you think you're like, it's going to get us there, right? It's just eventually going to get us there. And so we just kept on and kept on. And we're a couple hours into this and we realized something's not right. You know, like we have been, we've marched more than 50 acres, you know, and that's only one side of the property. Like something's not right here. And so we climbed up to a ridge. If you've ever been up in North Carolina, in the western part of North Carolina, this property actually backed up to the Nantahala National Forest. And so there were thousands and thousands of acres of property. We were in the middle of nowhere, really. And so we climbed up to the ridge of the mountain, which was way, way up. And we were able to get cell phone service at that point. And so when we did, we got on Google Maps and realized that we were in a totally different town. We had gone way out of the way. Way out of the way. Right? And so we had two options at that point. We could continue to go on that trail, and maybe it would take us, because even with Google Maps, you couldn't see the trail. It's just forest. And we thought, well, you know, we can keep going and hopefully it'll bring us to a place of civilization, or we could go back. And you ever been in that dilemma? If you've traveled that far, I mean, we were hours into this hike and we were really getting it. You know, I mean, we were huffing and, you know, gasping for air, all, you know, and we've covered a lot of ground. And there's this thought in your head of like, man, to go back is such a waste. You know, because like we've already seen that part of the woods. You know, it's like what's out in front. And so there's this temptation to want to keep going, right? Maybe you've been there in that situation. Well, wisdom kicked in and we said, at least we know the way back, right? And so we decided to head back home and found our way back. Today I'm starting a new message series. And the title of it is You Are Here. When you came in, you probably saw a card on the chair. I want to encourage you to invite somebody to church. But the message is You Are Here because I think there are a lot of people on a path. And even today, maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're watching online, but there are a lot of people on a path, but they don't really know where they are. And maybe you're in that boat. Maybe you're on a path in life, but you don't really know where you are. You've been on a path for a while, and you feel like if you turn around at this point, it's kind of like a waste of all the time, all the energy, all the investment that you have put into your path, right? I mean, you've been working hard at this thing, and you've spent all this time. And so, you know, maybe you're in that boat, and after you felt sure the trail was, is he okay? That's Paul. He wanted to hear me preach. It's my buddy. So, you know, maybe you've been in that boat, though. Maybe, you know, after you felt sure the trail was going to lead you somewhere, right? And you just needed to be on it. Some maybe someone spent a lot of time making that trail and that road. Obviously they do, right? I mean, that service road for us, there was a lot of money and a lot of energy spent in making this road, and so there's the thought that it's got to get us somewhere. It's got to take us somewhere. It's got to go somewhere, right? I think we think that in life as well, that because there's a road that we're on, a path that we're on, and maybe it's been well trampled down, and it's been well traveled, that it's going to take us somewhere, right? And we keep going and going and going, hoping that we'll finally get there, and we wonder if we'll ever get there. I think we're in a hurry a lot of times to get somewhere, and we don't even know where we are. Maybe you're in a hurry to get those kids grown, raised, and gone. Anybody? Fast track in that one. It's like, you're 12, you can live on your own. No, don't do that. You want to be an adult? Okay, put you on the fast track. But we're in a hurry. We're in a hurry to get those kids raised, get them grown, get them sent out so that we can enjoy our empty nest and life. Or maybe you're not. You know, maybe that's not you. Maybe you're on your way to building your business, right? And you're going somewhere with it. And maybe you're a teenager here this morning or a young adult, and you're in a hurry to be grown up, right? I remember those days. Couldn't wait. You're on the highway to adulthood. You are like, I want to be an adult. I want to be able to make my own decisions, right? Maybe you're ready to take that relationship that you're in to the next level. Maybe you're trying to climb that corporate ladder, or maybe you're finishing your schooling and so that you can get into that career that you want to get. But you're heading somewhere, right? You're on a track somewhere. But do you know where you are? That's the question. I couldn't wait to get out of school. I don't know about you, but I'm sure that all the adults in the room felt the same way. I couldn't wait to get out of school. I couldn't wait to get out of my parents' house. I couldn't wait to get married. I couldn't wait to establish my own family, to have kids. I couldn't wait to be grown and gone, right? I was in a hurry to get somewhere. And I think in life we are in a hurry to get somewhere. But we really don't know where we're at right now. My prayer has been this morning, as I've been preparing for this message and preparing for this series, because this message is really laying the foundation for where we're going over the next 5 weeks total. But maybe you're at a point in your life today where you're willing to just slow down just for a few weeks and figure out where you are. Because we can get in such a hurry, right? We can get in such a hurry to get somewhere, and we don't even know where we're at. When you know where you are, this is the bottom line of my message. If you can't remember anything else, you can probably remember this, right? When you know where you are, you can find where you're going. When you know where you are, you can find where you're going. Now, I love when I'm in the mall. I don't love being in the mall, but I love when I'm in the mall and I'm looking for a place. You get those little maps, you know, you go into the little thing and it's like, you are here, right? It's a little thing, a little sign like that thing. You're here. I need that. I need to know where I'm at. Whether it's in a mall or on a hiking trail or at an amusement park. You ever got lost in an amusement park? You're like, where am I? And I love those things. I love those markers letting me know where I am. It doesn't do you a whole lot of good to look at a map if you don't know where you are, right? Have you ever looked at a map and you had no clue? Like, I don't know. Am I in Texas? Am I in Mexico? You know, I'm sure not that extreme, but, you know, maybe you're out in the country somewhere and you have no idea. That's hard for us to grasp right now because of GPS. We just pull our phones out and hopefully we have cell phone service. But they're in life, it's real easy to just get busy going somewhere, but not even know where you are. Amen. And I watch people. I watch this happen in our lives. And so this series is really about discovering where we are. You're here. You're here. Learning some things about ourselves, discovering some things about where we are so that we can find where we need to be. One of the big mistakes that we make is when we feel like we're on the wrong path. And what we do when we feel like we're on the wrong path is we jump to a new path without really ever understanding where we are. And it's real easy to do that. And sometimes I think in the church we do that too much. We've got to figure out where we're at, right? If you're trying to lose weight, don't you need to know where you're at? No, you don't want to know where you're at. You're not going to get to where you want to be if you don't know where you're at. If you're trying to start over in a new romantic relationship, you need to know where you're at. It's real easy to just jump into something new because, you know, you feel like you're in the wrong, you're all in the wrong place, you're with the wrong person, you're and it's just easy to just jump into something else, and we think that's going to fix it. You got to figure out where you're at if you're going to understand where you want to be. How about if you're changing careers? Tired of this thing. I'm tired of this line of work. I'm tired of my boss. I'm tired of life. Blah blah blah. All that and you know, you got to know, where am I? What is it that God's put inside of my heart? What kind of giftings? What kind of passions are there? And is He leading me? And listen to Him. How about if you're trying to get emotionally healthy? You're trying to get emotionally healthy. You got to understand where you're at, right? What is it that's broken that needs to be fixed inside your heart? How about if you're trying to get healthy spiritually? See, we have to discover that we're lost before we can delight in being found. And I think so many times we skip over that part. We're just jumping from thing to thing to thing because we're trying to find that perfect whatever it is. Job, relationship. When you know where you are, you can find where you're going. We've got to understand that we're lost before we can rejoice in the fact that we're found. I think we make a big mistake sometimes in church, if I can be honest with you. And I think it's easy for us to talk about something and not really understand the importance of it. It's easy for us to talk about forgiveness and redemption and eternity and all of those great things and a relationship with Jesus, but we don't really understand why we need that, right? And I think sometimes people, I don't know if you're tracking with me, you know, my mind's a little weird sometimes, but I think sometimes people, they get involved in church and they accept Jesus, but they don't really know why they need to accept Jesus. We don't understand the lostness, but we want to enjoy being found. Does that make sense? Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Not 1-2, but it records the creation, God's creation, His handiwork. It also describes a perfect creation and a perfect place. Adam and Eve are the pinnacle of God's perfect creation, living in that perfect place called the Garden of Eden. And Satan tempts Eve and Adam by first questioning what God spoke to them. Did you really say, or did he really say, did God really say, is what Satan said to Adam and Eve. You know, there's really nothing new. Satan's tricks are not new. They're the same old thing. He causes us to question what God said to us. And when you start to question what God said to you, when you start to question His word, when you start to question what the Lord's put inside of your heart, it's real easy to get distracted. Let's read passage of Scripture, Genesis 3, 1 through 11. We're talking about finding where we are, discovering where we are so that we can find that place that God wants us to be. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "You may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you'll die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some, ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" Now, I don't know how this played out. I don't know what this looked like. But I think it's very important, the spiritual truth that we take from this passage. I think it's very important that we understand something. That Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment. But in spite of being in a perfect environment where they had no needs, every need was met, they were provided for way above and beyond what they really even needed. It was what they wanted. And I think we can relate with that at times. You know, God provides more than we really need. He gives us really more than we want sometimes. But here they are in this perfect environment, and they choose, still in spite of that, to be in control of their own destiny. It's not about a piece of fruit from God's favorite tree. It's about you and I. It's about mankind. It's about the human race saying, "I don't need you, God. I'm going to do my own thing." That's what it's about. That's what happened in the garden. And they did their own thing. And at that moment, everything changed. Everything changed. Everything changed. They realized they were naked. They realized they were naked, but they adapted. Isn't that what we do? We realize in life sometimes that things aren't right. You know, it's not, man, something's not right. You know, you're hiking along, whether, you know, you're on a trail somewhere, or whether you're in a marriage, or whether you're in, you know, a career, or whatever the situation, but you're going along in life and at breakneck speed, and you realize something's not right here. And so what we do is we adapt. Instead of stopping and saying, "Where am I? What's going on? What's happening?" They realized they were naked, but they adapted. It says they took fig leaves. And they sewed coverings for themselves. They're like, I'm naked, you know. But they adapted to the situation. They didn't realize the severity of the situation. They had no idea that they were lost. No idea. Even though they were told, "You're going to die." Well, they didn't die. They ate of the fruit. They're still standing. So we start to adapt, right? We adapt in those situations, and so did they. They realized they were naked. See, we always adapt to our situations, whether it's a pill, a drink, a bowl, a new relationship, a new neighborhood, a new family, a new job, a new church, but never a new you. We adapt. When you know where you are, you can find where you're going. When you know where you are, you can find where you're going. See, sin entered the world at that point. The door was open. It was just cracked open, and that's all the enemy needs in our lives. And so sin entered the world. With it came all sickness, all death, all disease, all of the things that we struggle with, all of the things that sometimes when it happens to us, we're quick to say, "God, why are you doing this to me?" But in reality, it was the door was opened. God never intended for us to experience the pain and the suffering that we experience in life. You can wrestle with that, and if you got questions, I can maybe help you a little bit, but it's there's a real mystery in all of that. But God gives us a choice. Because we say, well, God, why would you allow that to happen? Why would, because we have a choice. And if he takes our choice away, we cease to be human. Now, that's pretty deep for a Sunday morning. But when sin entered the world, along with it came all of the garbage. And part of that garbage is that we were born with a sinful nature. We're born bent towards sin. We don't have to be taught that, but we're born bent that way. And that is why Jesus came. See, sin entered the world through one man in a perfect environment. And redemption and forgiveness had to come through one man, and that's Jesus, a perfect person, a perfect man. Luke chapter 23. This is what we celebrate today. We celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Luke 26, as the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others. Let him save himself. If he's God's Messiah, the chosen one, the soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine and vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. What a beautiful story right in the middle of a very ugly situation. I love how God's able to bring beauty out of our disaster and our ashes and our ugliness in life. And we see it right there. We see forgiveness in action. In a moment when everything about your flesh is crying out, be selfish and look out for yourself, Jesus reaches out to this man. But I think it's interesting that there's two men, one on his right, one on his left. Maybe these guys were partners in crime. Maybe they were brothers. Maybe they were friends. I don't know how they got there, but they were there, right? They were at the same place in life. They were on a journey. They were traveling down a road. And it brought them to a place where one reaches out and lashes out and curses Jesus. He's not able to see it. He's not able to understand it. But the other sees something. He realizes where he is. He realizes that he's lost. I mean, you would think both of them would. You would think that you know, it would be pretty obvious. But he realizes where he is. He realizes that he's lost. And he realizes where he could be. And so he reaches out to Jesus and he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He was able to do it because he realized where he was. And because of that, Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Where are you? Where are you? You're going through life. You're into this marriage and you're trucking along and you're like, man, we're having some bumps. We're having some struggles. You're into your career. You're into work. And you're questioning, man, do I really want to do this the rest of my life? What's going on here? Maybe you're just cruising through school and you just cannot wait until you get that diploma and you can just move on and do something else. Or I don't know where you're at. I don't know if you're, man, we just want to have kids. We just want to, or maybe you have kids and you just, yeah, I want to get rid of these kids. Just, I don't know. I'm not sure. But you're trucking along and you're going through life and we can get so busy and so occupied with life and we don't even know really where we're at. I'm not talking about, have you heard about Jesus? I'm not talking about that. But where are you? Where are you? Have you taken some time, and hopefully over the next 5 weeks we can together take some time and figure out where we're at. We're going to look at a really cool parable that Jesus told in Mark chapter 4. But where are you? Are you on a path that you think is taking you somewhere? One day in October 2015, a forest surveyor working in an area of dense woodland near Mount Reddington in Maine came across a collapsed tent hidden in the undergrowth, and he noticed a backpack, some clothes, a sleeping bag, and inside the sleeping bag what he assumed was a human skull. He took a photograph and then he hurried out of the woods and called his boss. The news soon reached Kevin Adam, the search and rescue coordinator for the Maine Warden Service, who immediately guessed what the surveyor had found. He wrote later, "From what I could see of the location on the map and what I saw in the picture, I was almost certain it would be Jerry Largay." Geraldine Largay, a 66-year-old retired nurse from Tennessee, had gone missing near Reddington in July 2013 while attempting to walk the length of the Appalachian Trail, a national hiking route that stretches more than 2,100 miles from Springer Mountain in Georgia to Mount Katahdin in central Maine. Her disappearance triggered one of the biggest search and rescue operations in the state's history. And over 2 years, it failed to uncover a single clue until the surveyor stumbled on her camp. No one had any idea what had become of her. This was Jerry's dream trip. She had set off with a friend, Jane Lee, on April 23rd, 2013, from Harper's Ferry in West Virginia. They had planned to hike the trail, flip-flop style, walking north to Katahdin, then driving back to Harper's Ferry before continuing south to Springer. They had help. Jerry's husband, George, was shadowing them in his car, resupplying them at prearranged locations, and occasionally taking them to a motel for rest. They made good progress, and by the end of June, they were in New Hampshire. A family emergency forced Jane to return home, but Jerry carried on alone. She was slow, managing about a mile each hour. She adopted the trail name Inchworm in recognition of her larval pace. Her sense of direction wasn't great, but she was well-equipped. She was a meticulous planner. She always knew where to find water and shelter, and her gregariousness and warmth won her many friends among fellow hikers. One of them, Dorothy Rust, told the Boston Globe she was just full of confidence and joy, a delight to talk to. Rust and her hiking partner, who were walking south, encountered Jerry at a poplar ridge lean-to, a shelter just south of the stretch in Reddington where Jerry went missing. They were the last people to see her alive. At around 6:30 On the morning of July 22nd, they watched her gather her things, eat breakfast, and strap on her rucksack. Russ took a photo of her. The warden service's case report states that Jerry was wearing a blue kerchief, red long-sleeve top, tan shorts, hiking boots, blue backpack, distinctive eyeglasses, and a big smile. They are all there in that picture. She looks set for the trail. 45 minutes after leaving Poplar Ridge, Jerry texted George to tell him she was on her way. They had arranged to meet at a road crossing 21 miles up the trail. The following evening, the first anyone knew that something was wrong was when she failed to show up for that rendezvous. George waited a day, then alerted the warden service, which instigated its well-rehearsed lost person procedure. Over the following weeks, hundreds of professional rescuers and trained volunteers searched the woods around Reddington. They found nothing, no shred of clothing, no sign of a camp. The investigation and many of the searchers carried on for the next 26 months until her body was found. Only then did they get some answers. The day after the survivors' gruesome discovery, Kevin Adam and his fellow wardens retrieved the remains of her camp and went through her phone records and her journal, which she had wrapped in a watertight bag to try to piece together what had happened. They learned that she had left the trail during the morning of July 22nd, a few miles from the Poplar Ridge shelter to go to the bathroom, and couldn't find her way back. Most likely, she went no more than 80 paces into the woods. This was her usual practice. Disoriented in the tangle of trees and brush, she started wandering. At 11:01 a.m., she sent a text to George. In some trouble, got off trail to go to the bathroom, now lost. Can you call AMC, which is Appalachian Mountain Club, to see if a trail maintainer can help me? Somewhere north of Woods Road. XOXO. Unfortunately, she was in an area with no cell phone coverage, and neither this nor her subsequent texts got through. The following afternoon, she tried again, lost since yesterday, off trail 3 or 4 miles. Call police for what to do, please. XOXO. That night, she pitched her tent on the highest ground she could find. She heard the spotter planes and helicopters looking for her. She did her best to be seen. She tried to light a fire. She draped her reflective emergency blanket on a tree. She waited. On August 6, Jerry used her phone for the last time, though she kept writing in her journal for 4 more days. By then, she knew what was coming. She left a note for her would-be rescuers. When you find my body, please call my husband George and my daughter Carrie. It will be the greatest kindness for them to know that I am dead and where you found me. No matter how many years from now, please find it in your heart to mail the contents of this bag to one of them. She survived at least 19 days on her own in the wilderness before succumbing to the effects of exposure and starvation, longer than many experts believe possible. She did not know, this is terrible, she did not know that a dog team had passed within 100 yards of her, that her campsite was only a half a mile from the trail as the crow flies, or that if she had walked downhill, she would have soon reached an old railroad track that would have taken her in either direction, straight out of the woods. I read that story because I think it can speak to us. Where are you? You might be so close. You might be so close, but you're still lost. This is an old saying, but I'm just going to say it anyway. You know, I get people that get curious about going to church, and I tell them all the time, I'm going to church does not make you a Christian, right? Just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a Big Mac. You might be so close. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad it's Easter Sunday and you're here at church and you're in the right place, but you're so close. Just being at church doesn't mean you're going to be a Christian. It doesn't mean you're applying what Jesus did for you. Maybe you're a half mile off the trail. Maybe you're in the next town, but I don't know. Only you can determine that. And the trail you're on in life, and you're in a hurry to get somewhere. None of those things are bad. Family is great. God wants us to have family. He wants us to have career. He wants us to experience those things. But when you know where you are, you can find where you're going. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to do something in our hearts this morning. And maybe you're just so close. Maybe you're just right off the trail. And you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. The last thing I want to see is you just lie down and die there. Today's not an accident that you're here. And I'm not inviting you to be religious today. But I'm inviting you to just embrace what Jesus did for you thousands of years ago. Does it still apply? Absolutely. Is there still power in that blood that Jesus shed? Absolutely. Hasn't lost any power at all. I'm just inviting you to embrace that and just see where it takes you. You might even, I'm not sure if I want to do that. I don't know. I'm not sure if I want to be, you know, part of that. Just see where it takes you. Because where you're going right now, you're not in the right place. You know that. You know that. Would you stand with me? I want us to sing the first verse of this song, and then I want to pray with you.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Sin separated. The breach was far too high. From the far side of the chasm, you had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe. Broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood and high. Thank you, Jesus, has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life.
So I think about those words that God spoke to Adam and Eve. He said, "Where are you?" God knew where they were. He knows where you are, but He's asking you that question this morning. Where are you? See, they needed to realize where they were. Until they realized where they were, they couldn't get to where they needed to be. I know you're used to adapting. I know when you feel like, you know, man, you know, things aren't right. Let's just make a change, and let's adapt, and let's do this, and let's do that. I know there's a tendency for all of us to do that. It's that part of us that is we want to be in control. It's the part of us that's broken and not willing to say to God, "Okay, I give you control. Okay, I'll follow you. Okay, I'll submit to you." we surrender to him today? Can I pray for you real quick?